digital world. Every day is game day.
This is
the future of radio in America.
The future of radio.
This is the future of radio.
The future of radio.
Rather extraordinary things.
Cyber Station USA.
100% homeboy. Radix Q.
To remake the world.
Broadcasting to the universe.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Revolutionizing radio.
This may be one of the greatest moments in history.
We're back to the Neil Haley Show and the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program from American Ninja Warrior, Akbar, Baja, Bia Miller, and Zuri Hall. Guys, thanks for calling, and I'm excited to chat with you today. And it's a surprise that there's no off-season, is there, Akbar?
No, there is no off-season. In fact, January 26th, we're coming back with the world, USA versus the world. And this is pretty special because we're going to have three teams competing for total dominance, for global dominance. And you look at Team USA, you look at Team Europe, and Team Australia, who's new to the competition. All of this happening on the year that we're having the Olympics in Tokyo 2020. This is a great opportunity for all of these ninjas to show who the top ninja is in the world.
Zuri, you can't believe how much this has grown, right? Now, first we're talking about, you know, just winning American Ninja Warrior. Now we're talking this global competition just in itself for one day to talk about what's happening.
Honestly, it's really special to watch. I mean, it's already such an awesome experience for all of the ninjas, everyone in the stands, for me on the sideline watching. But to see it be raised to the level of global competition is really cool, especially because, you know, when pride is on the line and national pride at that, the stakes get higher. And so it's really cool to see how the ninjas celebrate their culture and really represent for their home countries on that stage in Las Vegas. So it's a lot of fun. It's going to be crazy per usual. And then you see some of your all-stars, some of your favorites, repping Team USA. It's really cool to see Drew Dreschel out there as team captain, especially on the heels of his million-dollar win this past season.
Yeah, it's so cool. And he'll be supported by Jesse Flex LeBrec, Michael Torres, Karsten Williams, just to name some. Yeah. And, you know, you look at these ninjas. It's such a global phenomenon when you think about the success of ninja around the world. What started off as just a small show from Japan, which made its way to the States, has now grown into this global phenomenon. In fact, Michael Strahan texted me not too long ago. He was in Israel, and he saw the Israeli version of Ninja Warrior, and it was in Hebrew and the whole nine. I was like, this is pretty special. So you realize that this is just growing from country to country. And so to have Team Australia, like I mentioned before, in this competition, when you think about everything that they're going through with the wildfires over just devastating the country, it's pretty cool to see them competing in this competition. So I can't wait to see this because it's national pride. You got personal pride, then you have your national pride, which really elevates your game. And this is what people love about the Olympics, and we're bringing that same flair to American Ninja Warrior.
Now, Akbar, talk about some of the other international competitors. Have we seen them on American Ninja Warrior, or are they new?
Well, surely the Team Australia is going to be new, and we've got a new mix representing for Team Europe as well. So this is going to be a new cast, and we've done some rotations too with the USA. And so every year we have a new person that's representing Team USA. So they're not the same teams, you know.
I think that's exciting to see new competitors, that you're going to see their styles and who's going to really be able to win this competition for the world and learn about 100%. their stories, too.
Global conversation and a global experience is really special. There's so much camaraderie. There's so much teamwork. And even though it's competition, what I love most about Ninja Warrior is still this spirit of sort of brother and sisterhood, and it really is just one big family. And speaking of all of those different stories, I mean, we're going to be telling a ton of new stories because on We're going to Washington, D.C. for the first time ever, so
right.
That's really exciting.
And both locations will be filming indoors as
exactly.
well, so that's going to be a new twist as well. And that's going to be a little change-up for some of the ninjas who've been accustomed for years and years and years. You think about 12 years now, 12 seasons that we've been doing American Ninja Warrior, and this will be the second time now that we've ever shot indoors, so we'll have our
and
second
during
third
the day,
time.
Too.
And during the day, and that changes the circadian rhythm for the athletes who are used to competing late into the nights in the early morning. So I expect to see ninjas being able to do some phenomenal things on the course. But I love this time of the year when we get revved up for American Ninja Warrior. I spent a lot of my, you know, my younger years playing football, and I've been around some pretty cool athletes, but nothing like the athletes that I see on American Ninja Warrior.
So kicking it off indoors, wow, that's going to be a huge crowd, right?
Well, we're kicking a different element to it. And when we're moving on to the next cities in St. Louis and in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
So that's cool. L.A., then Washington, D.C., and St. Louis. And people can find that information going to American Ninja Warrior on NBC and just find it. And you can find it. And everyone needs to tune in on Sunday, January 26th, to USA versus the world.
I can't believe 12 seasons, world competition, the year of the Olympics. This is going to be a big-time primetime year.
2020.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for calling, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. You'll listen to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Dr. Christopher Hall Show, and I'm excited to welcome the program Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? And, you know, I'm excited about our guest. Again, she's inspiring. She's very interesting, and I'd love her to be my personal chef, that's for sure. That's got to be a great benefit for anyone that gets to enjoy her food. But go ahead and introduce our guest for us, please.
No problem. I'm very excited about our current guest. And again, you know, she certainly is a trailblazer in the culinary industry. She is a person who's an author of multiple books. And certainly one of America's top chefs. So I'd like to welcome to the show, Chef Adrienne Calvo. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's just jump really quickly into specifically when you were growing up, did you want to be a chef? Was that something when you were a little kid wanting to run around the kitchen and try to cook things or say, I'm going to get into stuff, or was this a surprise to you? You had other aspirations?
Well, actually, I wanted to go into journalism originally or sports therapy. Those were kind of like just small interests that I had up to about junior year of high school. And then a schedule mistake in high school put me into a cooking class. And while I was waiting for my schedule to clear up, a culinary school came in, and I called it the lightning strike in my life because it was as if they were only speaking to me. And from then on, all I wanted to do was become a chef.
That's amazing to think about, specifically enough, a class doing that. And I love, because I'm a former teacher, to hear stories like that. So your teacher inspired you, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Go ahead, Dr. Hall, with your question.
Wow, well, that's incredible. You know what, Neil and Chef Calvo, I'm certainly happy that mistake was made in that classicism, and a lot of people are as well. So, you know, you grew up in Miami, and tell us a little bit about actually what it takes to become a top chef. I mean, there's really more to it than just, hey, having these natural cooking skills. So I saw when you went to school there at Johnson & Wales University. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, to become a chef and to become a top chef, for sure, you have to do unimaginable amounts of work. It's not just going to culinary school or getting a job in a restaurant. You have to learn. You have to learn how to be a secretary. You have to learn how to be a speaker. You have to learn how to be a photographer, and you have to learn to be a student most of all. And I say student because we're in an industry that's ever changing. There's always trends, but at the same time, you have to always be honing your skills. You always have to be on top of your game, so you're always going to be in training, pretty much. And how to work with your peers. You learn from other chefs.
Okay.
And then you have to also be an accountant.
Yes, that's so true.
You need to know your numbers.
No, absolutely. And looking at that specific time period when you finally decided I'm going to go to school for this, what skill sets do you need to go into this industry? What do you think are those kind of skills or qualities you need?
You need to be a problem solver. You need to know how to think fast on your feet. You have to be able to move fast. So I think that you need to be a little bit athletic to be in this business, because if you're kind of like a couch potato, this won't work for you. And then the culinary skills, believe it or not, you can learn those. You can even learn those watching YouTube or working with someone great. People that have come into our kitchen at our restaurants have been people that don't have experience and have, and I would consider them the great chefs now because they've learned from us. So I think you have to come in with an open mind and a willingness to learn and a tireless attitude.
That's a great point, that so anyone can do it if they have the mindset to do it. And specifically enough, you can learn those skills. It's just about, do you have the perseverance to do it? So, Dr. Hall, go with your next question, please.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah, that's no doubt. And in certain terms of where she is, I mean, she's very successful in basically. So the next question, I guess, relates to, again, I think, you know, when Chef Calvo actually, you know, entered this field, and even today, it's you know, still likely a male-dominant field. So she's an inspiration for a lot of young women out there who are interested in going into this field. So tell us a little bit about that. Are there any particular things for young women that you'd say that'd be, I mean, certainly nothing different, that certainly to be talented, but what has been your experience?
Well, it's definitely the good old boys club still. It's 2020 now, and it's still that way. So women, the hard, ugly truth is simply you have to work twice as hard, maybe even more than that, and you have to speak a little louder, and you have to not bend over backwards for everybody, and you got to stand your ground on what you do. Other than that, the craft is simple. Just be so good they can't ignore you, pretty much. I think if you're, you know, a male in this career, you're just kind of like, okay, whatever you do is good. And you can hang out with your industry buddies and they applaud each other. But if you're a woman in this industry, you gotta like either make your own way or be, again, make some type of mark where it doesn't matter. They don't look at you for your sex. They're just gonna look at you for what you're doing. And that's pretty much all I have to say regarding that.
Very, very interesting in that point.
Great.
So how do you think we can get more women involved in this industry? It's starting to grow further, but what do you think, what recommendations do you have to see more be involved in this?
Well, I really do think that we need more women in management positions. Not everybody in the culinary industry is going to have a restaurant. So we need to work with hotel chefs. And if you look at how many hotel chefs are executive chefs of hotels, not just a restaurant outlet of a hotel, but we're talking a general, you know, they're in charge of, let's say, five or six outlets of the hotel. I think there's like four or five in the entire country, and that's including Alaska and Hawaii, by the way, because they just don't look at women for these big culinary positions. So once a woman starts to break into that, they're going to hire more women, and you'll see more women in power in the culinary industry. So I think that's the only way it'll shift. Other than that, you'll see women that have their own restaurants, but that's because they can't climb the ladder of corporate culinary world.
So true. And it's that's the important thing, to give those upper management positions to women. Then you're going to really change the game, which it has to be in everything. I think that we're missing a lot of times. We pigeonhole women into specific roles and not see.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcasters' features, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
The talent that they can bring, and it's the best candidate, not based on the sexual orientation, or meaning like male, female, whatever.
Correct.
The situations, we have to work on that. All right, go to Dr. Holden, next question.
Wow, interesting. Well, you know, Chef Calvo, you have some very, very interesting and obviously delicious entrees and dishes in your restaurant there in Miami. I looked at the menu there. And so...
Oh, thank you.
No, no problem. Yeah, no problem at all. And so when you think about putting a meal together and you think about that experience that it brings to the person who's eating, what kind of things do you take into consideration? I mean, so far as preparing a meal and how that would affect the person.
Our philosophy is maximum flavor. Maximum flavor being the foundation for which all our dishes are built upon, which is we're activating all parts of the palate. So sweet, sour, salty, bitter, spicy. So that creates a memory. Once all those parts of your palate are activated, you're getting all these endorphins to your brain. And, I mean, that's what makes the difference between a really delicious dish that you're going to crave, a week from now, a month from now, and a year from now, versus a one-dimensional blasé dish that maybe, you know, it doesn't matter whether you ate it or not. So when we're designing something, we're thinking, hey, does it hit all those notes?
Really? And that's
incredible.
So
incredible.
When you talk about, does it hit that? And it's like, specifically enough, it's an experiment sometimes while cooking, right? It's not always an exact science, right?
Right. I've read the physiology of taste so many times, and every time I read it, I learn something new. And food is very much the reaction that we have with food is very much scientific, and then it becomes emotional. So that's how we create dishes, pretty much.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Holm, next question.
Wow. And that's the kind of thing I wanted to bring out. Yeah, they're actually, being a chef is actually, you're creating experiences in someone's life that they will have with them forever. And it could be an anniversary, it could be a set up time in their life, they're going through depression, and this meal could bring them to a level that could really make them have a great day. So,
and
that
that's
is
what we
totally
aim to
awesome.
Do every single time.
Yes, no problem. So, tell us a little bit about. The books that you've written. I mean, there's a number of cookbooks. Again, some of them have become bestsellers. And tell us about that and what made you decide to put all your great ideas into books.
Well, I love sharing. I love food in general. So I love sharing my recipes with our fans, with readers, because and not just because I think they're going to make them, because most cookbooks, they're not ever bought because the person is going to sit in their kitchen and make all those recipes. But they feel like they have a piece of you, a piece of what you do, a piece of your craft. So I love that, you know, they'll take pictures of the books in their kitchens and they send them to me on Instagram. And that feeling is it's rewarding. And then for the few people that actually do cook them, and then they'll message me, hey, I love this dish, or, you know, this is how mine came out. That's just the connection that people have, you know, with food and through food. So it was just a natural reaction to when the first one came out to do another one, then another one, and then another one.
That's awesome. and another one. And is it more of a challenge for you to cook or write?
Actually, none of them. They come natural to me. I love writing and I love cooking. So I guess writing cookbooks is just perfect.
So it's your perfect fit. And you talked about before that you were interested in certain fields that would have involved a lot of writing, right? So it's kind of not surprising that you like to write.
Absolutely. I think everything that we do in any industry or anybody is really just as people. It's a story. Whether you're telling the story of your life one day to a child, to an elderly person, whatever, or simply somebody asks you, how was your day? You're telling a story. For somebody that doesn't know you at all and they read about you, maybe in the paper, maybe like they're listening to this radio interview right now, you're telling your story. So to me, telling the story is very, very important.
It's interesting when you talk about when they listen to it, you never know how you get found. It was interesting today. Dr. Hall and I were just Google searching one of the interviews I just did individually with him by himself, and it got picked up by a big news feed. So you just never know, an extra news feed, not like one of my syndication. I'm like, you never know who could be listening at any time and anywhere. And it's always great to put that story and put that spin on things. What are your thoughts, and this is a question kind of, and then I'll go back to Dr. Hall, and the way media has changed. Because again, you've had such experience in the media in many different facets as a cook writer and, you know, being on television. What are your thoughts on this changing medium? That's everyday media just changes and evolves.
Well, I think that we're in like the best place for media right now, as far as like the fan or the listener or the viewer, because we've never been this close to a personality because of social media. Before, you had to read about things, you know, in the paper or in a magazine that was published, you know, 30 days out or 6 months out, or something that was shot 6 months ago or written about a week ago. Now, if you turn on social media, you can actually contact the personality, or you can be on top of the craft, the outlet, the restaurant, or whatnot. So I think media has shifted to a closer relationship, not just something that's like so far, far out there for the viewer.
You've hit it. That's the thing. And I think it's given everyone the opportunity to really become a game changer because of this. And I love that fact. I'm just kind of confused, as, you know, a traditional radio guy started out in radio and podcasting was very passe at that time, to now we're podcasting so gigantic and live and everything, where we're going, because more and more people are changing from being introverts to extroverts. And all of us are trying to tell stories. And I think that everyone has a story. It doesn't matter who you meet in the streets, they have a story. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Hall?
Definitely, no doubt. And again, you know, those experiences that you bring out again in interviews like this and in books, that can affect other people, particularly young people. And so, I think that's our concern, everyone. So.
All right.
I'm very excited that we have our own show today.
Yeah, I wanted to jump with a question that's great about to Chef is your experience, your television experiences. Now, kind of give us our breakdown of all the different things you've done via television, like involving as a professional chef.
Well, on television, I've been doing for the last 10 years a segment on NBC called Maximum Flavor Live. So to be doing something on broadcast television for 10 years is kind of like a big deal nowadays because everything is shifting to other medias. I've been on Food Network a couple of times. That's as far as like TV. I've done Discovery Channel. I started my career actually on Montel Williams. I've done The Talk. I've done Fox and Friends a couple of times. So I've taken a lap around the TV world.
And do you ever see yourself like being on the shows as a regular? Probably you can't because of owning your own restaurant, right? You'd have to grow to the certain point that you have the right management to go to do
exactly
something big like that. That's something when you sell all your restaurants, right? Then you're ready to be the next brand in that way. You could do it.
That's not on the agenda.
Would you say because the industry restaurant, the whole restaurant industry has changed so much, there's so much money to be made that really it's a different situation than some of those years of struggling restaurants? Is that economy changed in a lot of ways since you first started in it?
No, it's actually harder because the competition is actually harder. It's a stiffer competition altogether. There's a ton of money to be made in restaurants, but you have to be able to do it right. It's very, very, very difficult. And most people just don't have the stamina to do it right, mental and physical stamina to do it right, or to see it through.
There's so much time. Between you two, the hours you guys put in, I guess I put in a lot of hours too, the hours between Dr. Hall, who's an emergency room, is an emergency room doctor, and yourself, a chef that owns your own restaurant and does all these other things, you guys really have to manage your time. So Dr. Hall, speak about that fact of hours as a doctor. We talked about, you know, the restaurant industry and her media stuff, and she's always on the go. As we know, she's on the go right now driving. Tell Dr. Hall to kind of Dr. Hall, go ahead and tell us, you know, in your particular opinion about that, of balancing all that with the number of hours an emergency room doctor, you know, has. And then I want to hear Chef talk about how she balances her time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and again, you know, in my situation, I'm working in 12-hour shifts, and you probably work about 13 of those a month. So certainly, you know, and they flip between day and night. So it could be 6A to 6B, then it's 6B to 6A. And so, yeah, you have to balance it and have sleep and also be able to, you know, to be able to communicate and continue to motivate people. And so I know that Chef Cowboy is certainly in a similar situation. And so, I want to ask her about, go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and that's my point of view on that, Neil.
Okay. That's okay. Ask the next question. I'll come back and follow up on the hours of owning a restaurant for people interested. But go ahead with your next question, Dr. Hall.
Oh, it was just kind of related to that one, so that's why I was continuing. I'm sorry. But I know she has done she's done some things like with children, okay? I saw where she was had done some things with the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital there in Memphis. So tell us a little bit about that, Chef Powell. How did you involve that, and why did you decide to do that?
Well, it's just a strong belief that a conviction, really, that no child should die at the dawn of life. That's what Danny Thomas said, the founder of St. Jude. And I think that there's no greater pain in the world than having a child die. So, you know, I like to think that us as humans, the only way that we can not repay, but give back, I guess, we have a very blessed life is to help others. And I think that if you can aid in this type of like horrible pain, if you can help the families, just bring a smile to their faces via your craft, well, that's about as good as it gets right there. I don't think that there's no amount of money that can, or the success of a restaurant that can measure to feeding these children and the families and seeing them cry out of happiness to be like, hey, this food I tasted today reminded me of home and better times or the best times. And that's where it counts right there.
Oh, I agree. And I think that's one reason why Dr. Hall is considering a foundation. I said, since he's grown his celebrity show and interviewed all these amazing people, he has the most motivation to help children. And there's so many different opportunities to do that and give back. You both had great success, and you want to give back. You don't want to just, you know, just take the success and know, because there are people struggling to try to reach your goals that both of you have attained and think it's impossible. But when they meet someone like you, Chef, or you, Dr. Hall, that there's a change of mindset in so many ways. I too can do this. Chef, if you didn't know Dr. Hall's story, he
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA.
Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
He was a ward of the state, basically was really in trouble with the law, and then he turned his life around, went into the military, and then became an emergency room doctor. So he really had to deal with lots of challenges to get to where he is. And we know, as a woman, how challenging it's been for you to build to the level as this successful, very successful chef and owning your own restaurant, right? And being a best-selling author. So there's a lot of things that some people would say you can't do, right, chef? And you did it.
Oh, yep. I mean, that perseverance is definitely something you got to have.
All right, Chef, where's the best place we can find information on you, learn more about you and stuff? Where can we go?
Follow me on Instagram at Chef Adrian, or just Google Chef Adrian and it'll all pop up. We have a few websites and a few social sites. So, you know, you can get all the info from there.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling. I appreciate you coming on the show, and best of luck and good luck in all your ventures and your success. Okay.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Chef.
All right, that was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, everybody.
Mr. Biden, are you on the line?
I am, yes.
So I'm excited to welcome the program the president of Maverick Charter Schools, Frank Biden. Frank, thanks for calling, and I'm very, very interested in how you got involved in education. Before we talk about Everly and stuff like that, I wanted to know a little bit of how you got involved in education.
Well, I come from a all the brightest people in the Biden family are women, and they were all teachers. My sister Valerie was a teacher and a principal. She's a Harvard fellow. My sister-in-law Jill, my dear friend from college, she is she holds a doctoral degree in education and still teaches, even though she's been in the White House for 8 years. She teaches at community college. My daughter Alana, who is my hero. Graduated from Harvard, and instead of taking the graduate school route right away, was with Teach for America.
Wow.
And the list goes on, the beat goes on. So You know, I've always had an interest in education and the mechanics of education. And that's because as a kid, until I was about 11 years old, I stuttered so badly I could hardly speak. And back in my day, a speech impediment was tantamount to being not very bright. And where it may be true today that I'm not very bright, when I was a kid, I was very sharp, but I simply couldn't. My parents, my brothers and sisters took care of me and assured me that I was, in fact, very capable, and I became an ardent reader, and that's what really pulled me out of that spiral in elementary school. So I've always been, my heart's always been with the kid who's sort of behind the eight ball, and it became clear to me that, you know, our traditional systems, both parochial, private, public, alternative public, all of the educational systems could use a boost, could use some help. And we need to find ways to help kids, especially kids who are having difficulty, find their way and achieve their dreams. That's how I became really, really interested in taking an active in this whole educational process. I don't hold a PhD in education. I'm I'm not, quote, an educator. I'm an entrepreneur and a policy guy who became deeply involved in this entire issue, almost by accident.
And it's, but see, it's interesting, Frank, when you talk about entrepreneur and understanding school. I get in little fights sometimes with other teachers. I was a teacher for 9 years, do tutoring and consulting as an educational consultant, and also have a social media and branding business. But when I talk to teachers nowadays, I talk about, you know, the success of as a tutor I have is based on competition. If I'm able to provide the best service possible for my client, I'm going to get more business and more opportunities. Our school system today needs to have competition. It needs to be to set the bar high for our students. So I think that's where, Frank, you saw this is a place I need to be.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe in all of those principles. But you know what? I have great sympathy for the teacher, the everyday woman and man who goes in and slugs it out in the public school system. And in many ways, they feel besieged. They feel as
right.
though they're under fire and under duress, with the humongous emphasis on testing. I know here in Florida and elsewhere, the teacher feels as though he or she can't really swing the bat fully, really deliver the way they could in the past. In addition to the fact that I think teachers are grossly underpaid. For the most part, especially kids starting out, coming out of the blocks. Now,
yes.
I bet Alana was Alana went to Harvard, graduated at the top of her class, and you know, God bless her, she has her her mother's and my sister and my sister-in-law's sense of social justice, and she went into this area of teaching not because it held any promise in terms of dollars and cents, but because she felt a real pull and a real duty. I bet less than 1% of that graduating class at Harvard. Now, I don't know the statistic exactly, but I know a lot of her classmates. Most of them went to Wall Street. Most of them went to law school or med school. And God bless them. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But how are we to attract the best and the brightest? Not that the people coming out of college and going into teaching aren't terrifically bright and motivated, but if we had more of that, if we had more of an emphasis, if we had more of an incentive for those teachers, this debate, this red herring of a debate, right, between the
yes.
entrepreneurial spirit and competition and teachers, quote unquote, you know, the traditional teachers, wouldn't exist. It simply wouldn't exist. We would embrace all of the above. And that's what I'm about now. I've gotten off my soapbox choice and about competition, And I've tried to bend over backwards and understand the teacher who feels that he or she is under siege. And you know what? I'm getting a lot more converts by following my brother Joe's lead in terms of listening and having a great deal of empathy and compassion than I am lecturing.
And that's so true. And touching upon what you talked about, we need our education system to get the brightest and best that could be doctors, lawyers, and engineers. We do have some, but ultimately, Frank, we have to make it so it's an attractive position, not a position that is so challenging that you can't have success.
Right, right. Absolutely. And here's the other thing. What is the thing that motivates most people of goodwill? And that is respect and admiration. Huh?
Yes.
I adored my father, and he was not, he didn't have the benefit of a college education. But my father's whole entire being directed us toward getting that degree and really taking advantage of the education system. And my father would always say, especially in later years when I had ears to hear, you know, the old Twain quote, when I was 18, I couldn't believe how stupid my father was. When I was 21, I couldn't believe how much he had learned in 3 years. Well, that was me with my dad. And my father said, look, here's what your purpose is, buddy. Don't ever doubt it. Your purpose is to help people with less power than you have. Now, my father lived it. He was not a particularly wealthy guy. He was not a particularly well-educated guy in the traditional sense, although he read a book a day.
Right.
My father was driven by the sense of social justice. They called him Big Joe in our little town of Wilmington, Delaware. When he died, 10,000 people showed up at his funeral. And the reason is because my father was always extending himself. He was always listening and learning. And again, you know, we have a tendency to beatify people when they die. But in fact, my father was the embodiment of the principle of empathy and the necessity that we help educate and we help people who don't have as much as we have, that we have. My nephew was the same way, who's dead a year and a couple months. Bo Biden, who was the Attorney General in Delaware. People adored him, not because he was, you know, the son of the vice president, because Bo extended himself at every turn toward the kid, the family, the people didn't have the advantages he had. And, you know, again, it sounds a little bit corny. I know it does, but I'm of an age where I don't care whether I sound corny anymore. The truth is the truth. These people in my family always led the way for me, because my natural instinct, I don't know about you, but my natural instinct is to want mine, want yours, and want the other guys too.
Yes.
I am a go-getter, right? And unless I put something in front of me that's more important than that selfish self-interest, I'm left with, you know, a paucity of spirit. But if I take a moment and I reflect and I really, you know, stop to think about what's important, all of my great satisfaction in my life has come from helping others. This whole Mavericks endeavor, and we'll get off this in a second, I really basically fell into when I came back from Nicaragua. I was with Hand in Hand Ministries after I left the Clinton administration. I came home because I got sick. I ran into a guy who was talking at a Starbucks about opening a school for underprivileged kids. My lawyer and my dear friend said at the time, please don't go over there and introduce yourself. And, of course, I did. And the rest is history. But the point is, my proudest achievement is being part of this movement that has graduated 6,000 kids who otherwise would be on the street, who failed multiple times getting through high school, who were dropouts, who were the kids who were pegged to never make it. And it turns out not only do they make it, but they can make it in spades. And they are iconic kids in their neighborhoods. They are, they really are. We were able to create the largest alternative high school system of its kind and the most successful. And that's why, let me spin right into these two young men who are like sons to me, Michael and Mark with Everly. These guys have been at this since they were 19 years old.
Wow. They're
still young men, but out of their bedroom, and again, it's the old humble beginnings thing, huh? And great ideas born out of necessity. They had each other, but they didn't have a whole lot else. And they went through the public school system in Los Angeles, and they were swamped in terms of the numbers, huh? And they understood clearly that they needed additional help. They went on to UCLA, and out of their bedroom, when they're 19 years old, they come up with the idea, hey, you know, there's so many kids like us who need additional help. Data business. Now, there are not many people who are that prescient. There are not many people that are that on the ball. And it takes a special breed, and they are. But they did this out of a desire to help. This wasn't a dollar and cents motivation for them, although there's sure nothing wrong with that, huh?
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
You know, I'm a capitalist to the core. There's no shame in creating a great business out of a great principled idea. In fact, quite the opposite. They go hand in hand, huh? Hand in hand. So, and by the way, when I was in Nicaragua, El Salvador, Belize, and Honduras, that's what we taught through Hand in Hand Ministries. We built houses, but we had labor from within the barrio. We built hospitals, but we made sure that the local doctors and local folks were the contributors to its construction and ongoing maintenance. So when people have skin in the game, they are highly motivated and are much, much more likely to succeed in whatever endeavor it is. So here's Michael and Mark. They start this out at 19. They grow this business into this tutoring business into a nationwide deal. They've I don't know how many thousands of people they've had go through their system. successfully, I might add. We're not talking about something that stopped, start, or had a, you know, a brief period of success and then has faded into the background. Quite the opposite. So they fine-tune this thing, and now they've come up with Everly. Everly is this on-demand system utilizing technology in a way that is, to my understanding, is unheard of. You're going to match a tutor specifically with what your needs are. You're going to go online, you're going to ask a few you're going to answer a few questions, and you're going to be directed to somebody who's not only qualified but is at the top of their game. What are the two motivating factors? One, the tutor wants to be there.
Yes.
He or she has been selected through a rigorous process of vetting. And two, they begin a relationship one-on-one. And understand what I'm emphasizing here. Relationship.
Yes.
The basis of all development is a lasting, intimate relationship. I may not know much, but I sure in heck know that. And this is
that's
what
so important.
That affords. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the success I had one-on-one with my kids, the students I tutor, is the relationship. If the relationship's built, you have to have the content, but also the relationship. Now, how does that really work that it's on-demand? It's an on-demand thing, as they were talking about the Uber for tutoring. Explain that more to me.
It's very cool. You know, you go online, geteverly.com. So you just go online, and it'll lead you through in a series of steps precisely how you engage. So it's very simple. You answer these questions. They direct you to a menu of a couple of qualified tutors. You then book the appointment, whether it's that day or the next week. And by the way, if people call in and they do this now, and they reference your radio show, they're going to get an hour free. They'll be able to put their toe in the water and find out whether it's for them. So here's the deal. They then engage with the tutor. Typically, the tutor will come to the kid's home, and it's K through 12. So it could be kids. It could be a young adult. It could be adolescent. It could be somebody getting ready, you know, to take their SATs and really needs to bone up. But the deal is they come, they meet, whether it's at the Starbucks or at home, and the tutor takes them through a rigorous series of steps. And you know way more about this than I do because you were a tutor. You are a teacher. There's where the relationship starts. Then it costs $54. But here's the difference between – and that, don't get me wrong, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So these are top-of-the-line people. And additionally – Everly, the company, Mark, and Michael, they only take 19% of that dollar. I know from having been in this business for a long time that typically it's a 50-50 split. So the money's going to the teacher. Or again, you would know better than I. But the teacher's motivated. We'll see results. The parent, when he or she swipes the credit card, will get a report after the engagement, not only a receipt for what's happened, but they'll get a report as to the child's progress. So each and every session, you'll have a marker for how well the child is doing. Now, what's important there? Look, every child is not going to progress like a rocket ship out of the blocks. We're not talking Usain Bolts here. Obviously, you wouldn't reach out for help if you were having an easy time of it. Some kids just need a little turn or an adjustment, and they're on their way.
Right.
But the way I view it, and again, you would know more about this than I do, what this engages is a relationship that will develop over time where there will be specific markers and goals set, and both the parent, the child, and the tutor we'll all be singing from the same song sheet. My experience in public education and parochial education, for that matter, is that oftentimes the confusion, what was it, Thomas Bacon said that, you know, assumption is the mother of all confusion, is that we don't have a clear enough indication on a real-time basis of how that child is doing. And if everybody knows, everybody can pull their oars in the same direction. No one is in the dark. And what that does I know for a kid like me who stuttered really badly and who had difficulty reading in front of a class, I thank God I had parents and siblings who understood me, and my gold stars were given at home. Everybody knew I wasn't stupid because I was, you know, I was reading Billy Budd at the age of 9, right?
Right.
But in school, I was thought to be quite different. And my heart goes out to kids like me, like I was when I was a child. And we want to give those kids standing in a way that they know they're already a success. You know, I tell my kids at Mavericks, and I'm slowly phasing out of Mavericks. I've got a large undertaking now called school property development. I've built 25 charter schools. We're going to take a program nationally called a P3 program where we're going to build traditional public schools with innovative ideas around it. So hopefully to completely eliminate that terrible divide between charter schools and traditional public schools. But anyway, I digress. The point is that what we want to do is we want to show these kids by asking for help, they're already a success. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oftentimes,
yeah, absolutely.
Help equals I'm stupid, I'm no good. And it's the opposite of what we want to encourage, and that is self-worth and confidence. So I think that's a huge point that we often miss. I tell my kids at Mavericks, as I said, come in to register. Imagine you're 17, 18 years old. You've got 6 credits toward high school. Your future is not only bleak, it's dark. Huh? And you come in and you register and you think, oh, my God, again, I'm going to throw myself against the wall. Huh? And nobody's thinking you're going to be a wild success. And I sit them down and I say, hey, look, let me tell you something. You're already a success for having taken this seat. It takes a lot of guts to come in and pick yourself up when you've been knocked down several times and get up again and try again. If you notice my brother Joe's line, it's not a line, it's the way he lives. And he says it in virtually every speech. He said it's the measure of a man is not how many times he's been knocked down, but how quickly he or she gets up.
Absolutely.
Right?
But one question, Frank, about the system. So the difference between other, like, in-home tutoring systems, Everly, again, their process of finding the tutors, but also the ability for the parents just to, with a click of the button. How long is that process so you can get a tutor out to the house? How long does that usually take?
Overnight.
Wow.
Yeah, it's instantaneous. They've got a whole bench of tutors. They've done the vetting process. They've done their homework here. And they've worked hard on this. This is just being rolled out in November, but they've been working on this for – they talked to me about this idea 2 years ago. So I'm so very proud of them. I really am. I look at these two guys and I – anyway, they're more like sons to me than they are am I just sitting on a board.
Gotcha. So. And so that I can see the motivation for sure, Frank. So they can – where can our listeners right now go to what website?
Get Everly, capital G-E-T, capital E, lowercase V-E-R-L-Y, .com, Everly.com. And once again, what's really kind of cool is that they'll give you an hour if they reference this radio show.
Oh,
I think they got some other deals. You know,
I hope they do.
It'll all be spelled out on that website. But every parent owes it to themselves, whether your child is getting F's, D's, C's, or B's. If they're not knocking it out of the park, then they're probably not putting their foot all the way to the metal. I believe. Now, this, again, is going to sound really corny, but it's my experience, not my opinion. That's a big difference. Opinions are a dime a dozen. I've got a million of them, and I'll bore you all day long with them. My experience, on the other hand, is what I've lived, what I've seen, what I know to be true. It isn't a whole lot, but here's one thing I do know in terms of education. And had I not seen this, and had I believed the, quote, educators, the experts, who told me when I first got involved with Mavericks, for example, that I was out of my mind taking on 15 to...
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.